Our scripture is a little bit different today. We're going to present it in a different kind of way because we're going to focus on together the story of Hagar. And her story can be read more completely as it's offered in two chapters of Genesis, chapter 16 and chapter 21. But today we're going to present the essentials of what we're going to look at through a dialogue between Hagar and God. My name is Hagar, and most people remember Abraham and Sarah. Few remember me. I was an Egyptian. I was a slave, a servant in Sarah's household. And when Sarah could not bear a child, she gave me to Abraham. No one asked what I wanted. Soon I became pregnant, but instead of bringing joy, my pregnancy brought conflict. Sarah became jealous and angry. The household, it became unbearable. So I ran. I fled into the wilderness, alone, pregnant, afraid.
Hagar, where have you come from, and where are you going?
No one had asked me a question like that before. No one had ever seemed to care where I had come from or where I was going. And so I told the truth. I am running.
I see you. You are not forgotten. Your child will live. There is a future for you beyond this wilderness.
And there, in the desert, I did something no one else in Scripture had done before. I gave God a name, El Roy, the God who sees me, for I said, I have now seen the one who sees. Years passed, and Isaac was born. And Sarah laughed with joy, but there was no joy for me, for my son, Ishmael. He and I were sent away. Again, I was back in the wilderness. This time carrying only a little bread and a little bit of water and my son. And when the water was gone, I could not bear to watch my son Ishmael die, so I sat down and wept.
Hagar, do not be afraid. I hear the boy crying. I am with you. Open your eyes.
And God showed me a well, water in the desert, life where I expected death, hope where I expected despair. And I learned what I had learned before, that even in the wilderness,
I see you.
God saw me. Cast out, lost in the wilderness, believing my son and I would die, God said again,
I see you.
My name is Hagar, and my story is this. There is a God who sees. There is a God who sees each one of us. And that's the good news at the heart of Hagar's story. Please pray with me. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts together be acceptable in your sight, O God, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. During the height of the COVID pandemic, my coworker and I, Rebecca, we went online. We did all of the children's stories that we usually do at the Shaler Library. We did all of the programs online. And it was wonderful, and it was great, and we would do the songs, the toddler math, the book babies, all that jazz. Started out with just a little iPad and a Facebook account. Then things got complicated, and as time dragged on, we started to get messages, like so many people did, that you couldn't use certain music online in your programs, that you couldn't read certain books online in your programs because of copyright. And that was absolutely true, and it was absolutely right. It was just new territory. And so we wanted to do the right thing. And so instead of playing the songs that we normally would do face-to-face just in the library, we bought a package with music that could be played online and distributed legally, ethically. And boy, they were terrible. The songs were just, they were just terrible. I mean, they were all right, but they weren't the ones that we really knew. But it turned out that there was one song that I still hear from people in the community, adults too, who said, "Oh, we watched all your stuff online," and it was a song called Peekaboo. And I bet you remember it. I'll sing the words for you, and you can just join in. Peekaboo, peekaboo, I see you. Peekaboo, peekaboo, I see you. Peekaboo, peekaboo, I see you. You got it. That was it. Peekaboo, peekaboo, I see you. And we used it all the time. But it turns out it was the right thing to do, because who knew that Peekaboo is such a beloved song? I don't know about that song, that particular version, but the game, they say that that's probably the first game that you ever learned how to play was Peekaboo. I don't know if you ever remember playing it, but maybe you remember playing it with your child or grandchild or niece or nephew. And it turns out that this game is played everywhere around the world. Palestinian, Italian, American, Irish, Iranian parents play it with their kids. The early scientific explanation for the love of this game is that it teaches babies that even when they can't see something, it's still there. That Swiss developmental psychologist, Jean Piaget, and he called this object permanence and suggested that babies spend the first 2 years of their lives working this out, that just because they can't see something doesn't mean it's not still there. It seems like we do this all our lives, though. And this morning, when I was at Mount Nebo, I had the children's story, and I asked the kids if there was a time when they'd ever been lost. And one little girl who's kind of wild, and she's a lot of fun, she's about 4-year-old, and she said, "Oh, one time I was lost in the store, and my daddy, he couldn't see me, he couldn't find me, because he was in one section, and I was in another, and I guess he didn't have enough money to buy what he wanted in this one section, so he had to go get some more money, and he left me, and I wandered off, and my daddy couldn't see me." And she was loving the attentions, because that's just the way this little cutie is. And she was going on and throwing little digs in to her dad, and everybody was laughing. And I wish that everyone could see, though, what happened when I asked a follow-up question. I said, "Olivia, what did it feel like when your dad couldn't see you and you couldn't see your dad?" And her face, it was just like it was brought back home. No smile, just that memory, that physical, visceral reaction. He didn't know where I was. I didn't know where he was. I don't know if you can remember being a child and being lost, not being seen, looking for someone to find you. Indeed, there are people who have felt this way, invisible, unseen, all of their lives. People born into a minority, maybe a woman, someone with darker skin, people born speaking a different language to the common one. And then others of us become invisible as time goes on. We become the weird kid, the disabled kid, the fat kid, the thin kid, the rich kid, the poor kid. For some of us, the invisibility comes even later. We lose a spouse. We lose our partner. We discover that our gender, our sexuality doesn't fit the norm. We're invisible. When we get ill, if we become addicted to drugs, if we end up in prison, if we commit a crime, or our child does, or our spouse, we lose our jobs. We stop driving. Those are all things that can make us invisible. We move to a nursing home. Oh, there are so many ways we allow ourselves to be blinded, to not see others. There are so many ways that we are prevented from being seen. But Hagar's story, it reminds us, she reminds us that God always sees us. Always. There's a young man who stands on the ramp to the Liberty Bridge. I'll see him again today. And I didn't know his name. And sometimes I would stop and I'd give him things through the window. He's as a dog and he's been caught in addiction for a long time, but I didn't know any of this. I would just kind of roll down my window and give him whatever I had and say hello. But one day I'm talking to my friend Kathy, who would make that same drive, and she would make it daily. And she was leaving work, and she said, oh, I gotta get this for Anthony. And I said, well, who's Anthony? You know? And she said, oh, he lives under the bridge, and he has a dog. And I realized, wow, this gentleman has a name. And we've talked about Anthony, and she said, yeah, you know, Anthony said, he said, you probably would believe it, it doesn't bother him when people don't stop and give him anything, because he knows some people don't have anything to give or just think there's another way to help out. That's not the best way. But he said the worst part is when people just drive by like they can't even see him. God sees him. God sees you and you and you, the real you, just like God saw Hagar. On Friday afternoon, I got a text from a woman I've sort of known just mostly through texting. Her name's Karen, and she's the niece of a woman who's a resident at the personal care home where I'll go this afternoon, where I'm the chaplain. And she's the niece of Anita. And Anita is 102 years old. And Anita's been on hospice for some time. And Karen texted me on Friday and she said, you know what? Hospice told me that Anita is most likely actively dying. And so I went out to see Anita on Friday night, knowing that she hasn't been awake, talking. It was late. It was about 9 o'clock and Anita was there by herself and she was very peacefully sleeping. And when I was there, a young med tech came in and she said, oh, she was surprised that anybody was in the room with her. And she said, oh, Pastor Ng, I'm sorry. I'm not even supposed to be up here. I'm on four today. But I heard that Anita was dying and I wanted to see her. I wanted to tell her that I love her and I'm going to miss her. And then more and more people came. Not a big crowd, but three more med techs, a few residents, some med techs were pushing them. They just wanted to come and see Anita and say hello and goodbye and see you later. Now, here's the thing about Anita. I've known her for many years before her dementia set in. So while Anita hasn't spoken for a few days, it's been years since Anita has been able to communicate in the way that we communicate. The dementia took her ability to speak as her brain was telling her to speak. And there were some people who say, well, Anita isn't there anymore. Hasn't been there for a long time. But these folks, those who gathered, Anita's niece, who then went back Saturday morning and is there even now, they knew what God knows. That God sees Anita, and they see Anita. And that's how we do it, friends. We remind each other. We remind each other so that when it feels like nobody can see us, we can hold on to the hope that somebody else sees us too. And may each one of you always know the truth that you are seen. And may we all be strengthened so that we can show the world that they are seen, precious, precious in God's sight. Amen.